A Carrion Death by Michael Stanley. Table of Contents. The Discovery at Kamisakubu. The Hippo Detective. The Mystery of the Mabone Mine. The Disappearance of Aaron Frankenthal. The Hoffmeyer Dynasty and the Stolen Letter. The Board Meeting and the Imposter. The Mirror Image. A Shark Attack in Nizhna. The Blood Diamond Scam. The Fall of the Hoffmeyers. The Final Resolution. Characters and Motivations. Summary. Thematic Analysis. Michael Stanley's A Carrion Death is the debut novel in a gritty mystery series featuring Assistant Superintendent David Kubu Bengu of the Botswana Criminal Investigation Department. The title of the book is taken from Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, specifically the line, "A Carrion Death, within whose empty eye there is a written scroll." The story is a complex tapestry of corporate greed, diamond smuggling, and cold-blooded murder that spans from the desolate beauty of the Kalahari Desert to the high-powered boardrooms of Gaborone. At the center of the investigation is a detective whose nickname, Kubu, means hippopotamus in Setswana, a creature that appears docile but possesses a deadly, unwavering resolve. The Discovery at Kamisa. The narrative begins with a gruesome discovery in the central Kalahari Game Reserve. Andries Botha, a game ranger at Dale's Camp, and Bongani CBC, an ecology professor from the University of Botswana, find a human corpse being devoured by a hyena near the Kamisa waterhole. The remains are in a horrific state. The head is separated from the spine, the back of the skull is smashed, and the eye sockets are empty. A cloying smell of carrion hangs over the scene, and green flies swarm the yellowed bones. Initial theories by the rangers are dismissive. Andries initially assumes the victim was a poacher or a damn-fooled tourist who got stuck in the dunes and attempted to walk out naked to work on his tan. However, Bongani, who has been trained to read the desert's patterns, notes several anomalies. There are no clothing scraps, shoes, or footprints near the body, which was positioned under a thorn acacia tree. Most notably, they find straight brown hair on the scalp, suggesting the victim was Caucasian, a detail that threatens the reputation of the local tourist industry. A closer inspection of the nearby dunes reveals fat shoe vehicle tracks that stop abruptly as if the vehicle were lifted into the sky. Bongani deduces that a single vehicle drove to the crest, turned around, and that the tracks were smoothed over with a broom to hide them from the riverbed. He concludes the victim was murdered and left naked so that scavengers would destroy all evidence of humanity. Kubu is eventually assigned to the case and begins the long drive from Gaborone to the bush resort. Kubu, the hippo detective. Assistant Superintendent Bengu is a man of considerable bulk who settles into his Land Rover for the four-hour drive to the Kalahari, accompanied by the operas of Mozart. He is a man who loves food, wine, and the vast desolation of the Kalahari. During his journey, he narrowly avoids an accident with an enormous pig, an event that leads him to chuckle about his own weight and promise to take his diets more seriously. Kubu's investigative philosophy is deeply rooted in his childhood friendship with a bushman named Kumanego. Kumanego taught Kubu to see the desert as a living world, showing him how to find lithops, plants disguised as stones, and trapdoor spiders. This education in observation learning to see what others do not became the foundation of Kubu's career in the Criminal Investigation Department, CID. Upon arriving at Dale's camp, Kubu meets Andries Botha and Dr. CBC. Kubu notes that Botha is a guttural-voiced Afrikaner who seems uncomfortable with smart, black academics like CBC. Kubu also meets the police pathologist, Dr. Ian McGregor, a Scotsman with a thick burr and a talent for painting Kalahari landscapes. McGregor's preliminary report is puzzling. The victim was a white male between 25 and 35 years old, killed by a blunt blow to the head, but every single one of his teeth had been knocked out with a screwdriver or crowbar to prevent dental identification. Furthermore, the victim's lower left arm had been hacked off with a sharp instrument, a detail McGregor believes was intentional rather than the work of hyenas. The Mystery of the Mabone Mine. As Kubu sifts through the evidence in the desert, a parallel narrative unfolds at the Mabone Diamond Mine. The mine is an open pit operation that follows a kimberlite pipe into the depths. Aaron Frankenthal, a talented German geologist, has been puzzled by the mine's production. The mine had been a joint venture with De Beers, who pulled out because they believed it was not commercially viable. However, the mine has recently started producing high-grade gemstones in irregular bursts. Aaron develops a theory involving two Kimberlite intrusions, but a sudden realization hits him. The production spikes are actually troughs. He concludes that someone is stealing the best diamonds from the mine. He documents his concerns in a hardcover journal and types a formal letter to Cecil Hoffmeyer, the chairman of the Botswana Cattle and Mining Company, BCMC. Aaron also attempts to check the mine's Kimberley process, KP, records against tax returns with the help of an administrator, Shirley Devlin, but finds that every diamond is perfectly accounted for. Aaron eventually confronts his boss, Jason Faraz, with his theory about the theft. Jason is dismissive and suggests the security guard, Jacob Dingaki, might be responsible. However, Aaron's suspicions about the management grow when he discovers lights on in the plant at 2 in the morning. Inside the sorting room, he sees two men with their backs to him arguing over a table covered in uncut diamonds. Before he can escape, Aaron is seized by a massive black man, later identified as Skolo, and realizes one of the men at the table is his boss, Jason Faraz. The disappearance of Aaron Frankenthal. The narrative reveals that Aaron was held prisoner in a bricked-up room at an abandoned BCMC farmhouse. His captors are led by a man with a bushy ginger beard, known only as Red Beard, later identified as Manuel Fonseca or Antonio de Vasconcelos. Red Beard has been communicating with a mysterious figure named Daniel, who has the refinement of an upper-class English school, and has ordered that the prisoner be killed in a way that looks like an accident. Aaron attempts a desperate escape by unscrewing a plywood panel over a bathroom window using a 5 tebe coin. He is caught by Skolo, and in the ensuing struggle, Skolo smashes Aaron's head against a makeshift shower mount, killing him instantly. Red Beard is furious at the clumsy death but proceeds to mutilate the body to hide its identity. He uses a hammer and screwdriver to smash out the teeth and a meat cleaver to hack off the fingertips and the lower left arm. Kubu later discovers Aaron's abandoned and burnt-out Land Cruiser in a nearby dry riverbed. The Hoffmeyer dynasty and the stolen letter. The investigation takes a turn toward the Hoffmeyer family, the owners of BCMC. Roland Hoffmeyer, the founder, died years earlier in a plane crash. His brother, Cecil, has been running the company, but control is set to pass to Roland's twin children, Angus and Diana, on their 30th birthday. Cecil Hoffmeyer becomes a person of interest when a break-in occurs at BCMC headquarters. Cecil initially claims only a small amount of petty cash was stolen from his antique French desk. However, his secretary, Johnny Malefe, reveals that he was paid by a professional blackmailer and pimp named Tembu Kobedi to steal a specific letter. This letter was the one Aaron Frankenthal had written to Cecil expressing concerns about diamond theft at the mine. Kubu attempts to interview Kobedi at a nightclub called the Highflyer. Kobedi is arrogant and dismissive, revealing that he has a history of blackmailing Cecil by claiming to have sabotaged Roland's plane. Shortly after this encounter, Kubu visits Kobedi's house in Pakalan and finds him dying on the floor of a mirrored bedroom. Before Kubu can react, he is knocked unconscious by a massive black man, Skolo. When Kubu wakes in the hospital, he learns that Kobedi is dead. Skolo is also found dead shortly after, shot in the head in a Gaborone alley. The board meeting and the imposter. A critical board meeting is held to decide the future of BCMC. Angus Hoffmeyer, who is supposed to take control, is unable to attend in person because he has allegedly contracted malaria and is recovering at a private clinic in South Africa called Fairwaters. He participates via teleconference, delivering a radical speech advocating for the rights of the Bushmen people and proposing that Diana become the new chairman while Cecil stays on as CEO. Kubu is suspicious of this sudden change in Angus's personality. During a phone call with Angus at the clinic, Kubu notices a joker in the deck. Angus refers to their old English teacher, Leslie Davis, as a man, when in fact she was a woman. Kubu travels to Fairwaters and discovers that the man who checked in as Angus Hoffmeyer was actually an imposter who used a tape recorder and sophisticated phone equipment. The clinic manager identifies a photograph of Jason Faraz as the man she knew as Angus. The mirror image. A shark attack in Nizhna. The mystery deepens when Angus Hoffmeyer is reported missing after an early morning swim at Roberg Beach in Plettenberg Bay, South Africa. His sister, Diana, and their mother, Pamela, identify a severed human forearm that washed up on the beach as Angus's. The hand is still wearing Angus's signature gold rings. The South African police, led by Inspector Bakkies Swanepoel, conclude that Angus was the victim of a great white shark attack. Kubu, however, sees a mirror image between the Kamisa body, a body missing an arm, and the Plettenberg Bay find, an arm missing a body. He persuades Dr. McGregor to perform an unauthorized DNA test. The results are a positive match. The Kamisa body found a month earlier in the Kalahari is the body of Angus Hoffmeyer. This revelation means that Angus was dead long before the board meeting. Kubu deduces that Diana Hoffmeyer, a gifted mimic who used to imitate her brothers as a child, was the one who spoke as Angus during the board meeting. Jason Faraz provided the alibi at the clinic, and Diana used a pre-recorded tape and live mimicry to fool the board and the police. The Blood Diamond Scam. The motive behind the murders is revealed through the work of the Sid Diamond Branch. They discover that the Mabone mine was being salted with high-quality diamonds from Angola. Jason Faraz and Red Beard were using the mine as a laundry to turn blood diamonds into legitimate Botswana gemstones with Kimberley process certificates. They planned to make the mine look profitable and sell it to BCMC for a massive profit. Aaron Frankenthal had inadvertently discovered the scam, but his letter to Cecil was written in poor English. He wrote, "Perhaps some of the best quality diamonds are actually stolen." He meant that diamonds were being stolen from the mine, but Jason and Cecil interpreted it to mean that Aaron knew the diamonds used to salt the mine were stolen from Angola. This single missing word led to a chain of murders, the fall of the Hoffmeyers. The investigation reaches its climax as the conspirators turn on each other. Redbeard realizes he has been double-crossed by the mysterious Daniel, whom he believed was Cecil Hoffmeyer. Redbeard hijacks Cecil's car and threatens him, but Cecil manages to convince him that Diana is the real mastermind and that she has the money. Diana, fearing she will be arrested after her interrogation by Kubu, attempts to flee the country with the help of Redbeard, whom she knows as Daniel. She leaves the Grand Palm Hotel via a service lift and meets a white pickup truck at a deserted bus stop at midnight. Redbeard does not slow down. He runs her over and then reverses over her body to ensure she is dead. Before she dies in the ambulance, Diana repeatedly tells the paramedics it was Daniel's fault. Kubu eventually realizes that Daniel was not a real person in the present, but Diana's younger brother who died as a child in a leopard attack. Diana had developed a split personality or a shadow persona based on her dead brother to interact with Redbeard. Jason Faraz, another loose end, is found murdered in a holiday flat in Portugal, his throat cut. The final resolution. The novel concludes with a series of cleanups. Peter Rabafana and Robert Nama, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, the government board members, use the incriminating tapes found in Kobody's safe to blackmail Cecil Hoffmeyer. They seize control of BCMC, forcing Cecil into a subordinate role and announcing a new era for the company. Several other senior civil servants are forced to resign as a result of the tapes. Redbeard attempts to escape across the Chobe River into Namibia with the help of a young boatman. After reaching the far bank, Redbeard murders the boatman to tie off the final loose end. However, the shot disturbs a large crocodile, which swims over to investigate the splashing in the water, leaving Redbeard's ultimate fate to the desert he exploited. Kubu finally visits young Tao, the ancient gardener at the Hoffmeyer estate. Tao reveals that Diana was always a dark child who could call horses and mimic birds perfectly. Kubu also visits a child psychologist, Hilary Mayberry, who treated Diana after Daniel's death. Mayberry reveals that when Diana talked about the leopard, her voice changed to that of a boy Daniel's voice. The book ends with Kubu driving away from the ruins of the Hoffmeyer dynasty, singing an aria from Mozart's The Magic Flute. Finally able to let go of the case that had silenced his song. Characters and motivation summary. David, Kubu, Bengu. Assistant superintendent who uses his sharp observation skills and intuition to link disparate crimes. Aaron Frankenthal. An honest geologist whose scientific rigor and poor English triggered a series of murders. Jason Faraz. An opportunistic mine manager who salted his mine with blood diamonds and impersonated his friend to steal a company. Diana Hoffmeyer. The brilliant and ruthless mastermind who used mimicry and a dead brother's name to murder her twin and seize power. Angus Hoffmeyer. the legitimate heir who was murdered in the Kalahari and whose identity was stolen for a month by his sister and her lover, Cecil Hoffmeyer. A man defined by ambition and cowardice who was outmaneuvered by children and eventually blackmailed into submission, Red Beard, Manuel Fonseca. A cold-blooded Angolan smuggler who served as the physical instrument of the conspiracy before being outsmarted by nature, Bongani CBC. A scientist who provided the technical evidence, satellite imagery, needed to break the case while navigating his own cultural superstitions, Ian McGregor. A steadfast pathologist who prioritized truth over official protocol, enabling the final identification of the body, thematic analysis. The novel explores the tension between tradition and modernity in Botswana. This is most evident in the character of Bongani, a PhD scientist who is nonetheless terrorized by a witch doctor. The witch doctor's parables about the Drongo bird and the vulture serve as a cryptic but accurate commentary on the Hoffmeyer family's internal destruction. Another central theme is the power of words. The entire plot was accelerated by Aaron Frankenthal's ambiguous letter, proving that words can be more important than we might think. The novel also critiques corporate and political corruption, showing how even the police and government officials can be compromised by wealth and secrets. Finally, the book is a meditation on nature's indifference. Whether it is a hyena in the Kalahari, a shark in the Indian Ocean, or a crocodile in the Chobe River, nature eventually consumes the pointless paper and dumb jewels of human ambition, leaving behind only a carrion death. This summary is for educational purposes only.